Welcome. Welcome back to The Wise Man's Page, the podcast where we read Patrick Rothfuss's The Wise Man's Fear. This is page 63. Concentrating to overcome the vague haze of alcohol. The chill sunk deeper into my arm, making me shiver, but finally the wick bloomed into light. Cold now, I closed the window and looked around the tiny room with its sloped ceiling and narrow bed. Surprisingly, I realized there was nowhere else in the four corners I'd rather be. I almost felt as if I were home. This may not seem odd to you, but it was strange to me. Growing up among the Edinburgh, home was never a place for me. Home was a group of wagons and songs around a campfire. When my troop was killed, it was more than the loss of my family and childhood friends. It was like my entire world had been burned down to the waterline. Now, after almost a year at the university, I was beginning to feel like I belonged here. It was an odd feeling, this fondness for a place. In some way, it was comforting, but the ruh in me was restless, rebelling at the thought of putting down roots like a plant. As I drifted off to sleep, I wondered what my father would think of me. And that's the page.
I'm Nick.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Jeremy. I really like this sort of reminder of the fact that Kvothe did not grow up in the dominant culture, that he is a little bit of a cultural outsider, and he's feeling a little weird about assimilating, or feeling like he's assimilating, and he has this sort of, he's being pulled in two directions, right? He is enjoying this comfort and safety of feeling like he has a place where he belongs, but that also kind of goes against like his cultural values, and that's an interesting conflict that I kind of wish we got more of.
It's kind of the fight between like, oh sorry.
No, you go.
I was gonna say, it's the fight between like your heritage versus like your modern comfort.
Indeed.
Yeah, I think it's also making this place into home so that it can tear it away from him.
Yes. Well, and it also foreshadows the fact that he's gonna leave soon, right? That he's gonna go on an adventure.
You know, in my mind's eye, most of this book is spent away from the university, but he's, you know, just jumping through here. Page 300, he's talking to Devi. Like, he doesn't actually leave until
he leaves like halfway through.
Yeah, but it feels like a lot of the book is spent in the university or out of the university.
I think that it feels that way because there's, okay, here, there's a weird theory to try and describe. Let's say you go for a run, you do a 3K run, and it's your normal route.
Oh, that yes. Route normally, is going, 3 day, 3K.
Just bear with me, I'm not done.
Uh-huh.
That 3 kilometers feels shorter because you do it all the time, you're familiar with it, it's done like that. But you could run a 2 kilometer run in a new space and it might feel longer. And that's what's happening in the book. We're used to the space of the university by now. We're familiar with it. It is exciting, but it's not as exciting as this new world that Kvothe is exploring. And so that part of the book feels like it takes up more of it.
Yeah, I think there are more set pieces outside the university also. Like, what are the set pieces in the university in this book? He gets dosed by the plumb bob. What else?
And he has, like, more naming lessons.
Yeah.
But you're right. More some sort of memorable, significant stuff happens outside of the university in this book. So the parts, even though the parts in the university are still a big part of his life, they feel less significant to us, the reader. So getting back to what's on this page. Oh, actually, no. Well, never mind. I'm not the right person to talk about this.
Okay, who is?
You. You're the one who takes notes.
Okay. Oh, no.
Trying to suggest.
He's making a reference of some form to
something. I'm just saying I had one thing to talk about on the page and I've talked about it.
Oh, you mean I have things because I have things.
Yeah.
I mean, he seems to be working extra hard to light this candle.
Yeah, because he's drunk. Have we not, like, it's the equivalent of, like, coming home and trying to, like, open your door, but you, like, you're trying to, like, find your keys and you have to really concentrate on, all right, the key
yeah,
is going
to
go.
Yeah, but it could kill you.
Yeah, It could kill me to not get the key in the lock of my house.
You could freeze to death outside on the stoop.
Exactly, exactly. But yeah, yeah, that's the thing. He's doing something that is familiar to anyone who has come home drunk, but he's doing
the namer version of it.
Yeah,
the
he's doing like the
version of it.
He's doing like the fantasy version of it that could, yes, get you killed if you did it wrong.
If we're done on that point. Oh,
yep.
Go ahead.
Well, it's just like a good use of like taking an experience or an idea that we're familiar with from the real world, if we drink, and sort of using it to add a little frisson to this fantasy thing that we've also sort of been introduced to because we know it from the previous book. So we the reader, can put two and two together and go, oh, he's doing something kind of risky and dangerous here because drawing from your body heat is not great for you, and it's taking him way more effort. Like, it's clearly he's not doing it as well as he would normally be doing it because he's drunk. That could be risky. But Rothfuss doesn't say, I was doing something dangerous on this page. You know, we're expected to put that together ourselves.
Yeah, we know enough by now. All right, Jordana, I see you champing at the bit.
I am. I want to talk a little bit about sort of the piece of the page where he's being very present, which I feel is something that Quoth isn't a lot of the time. Like, he is very present when he is doing something musical. But a lot of the time, we sort of hear about, I feel like, his plans. We know more about his plans or more about like how he's doing something to accommodate someone else or to get ahead, or
yeah,
he's not just like appreciating what he is, where he is, who he is in that moment.
He doesn't
and
seem
he's
to
doing
get
this
pensive.
On this page.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to get pensive unless he's drunk, reflective. That's a good observation.
Yeah, just for him to say something like he took a look around and there's nowhere he'd rather be it's a really reflective moment for Quoth. It's also just sort of nice to read as a reader, because I think as a reader, you read that and you think about, where am I right now? Am I where I want to be? Like, is this the most comfortable place for me at this moment? Is like that kind of thing.
Well, and it's always nice to know that a character you love is like cozy and safe.
It's only to be snatched away.
Yes, well, that's the cruel trick that authors play on us, where they make the characters we love cozy and safe and then ruin it. And there's also like that sort of bittersweet melancholy where he wonders like what would his father think of where he is right now.
Mm-hmm. And as readers, we love it every time.
We do. We love it, folks. We love it.
All right. That is all of my things.
Really? There's no other things you want to talk about?
Should there be?
Yes. Because
always just do mail.
It's the end of...
it's the end of a chapter! Oh my god, I can't believe I forgot! Pardon me while I quickly shift through the chapter to find the chapter
title. The title of this chapter in my book is Love. Why
love.
Do you think that
is? Oh my
is?
Gosh, that's the title in my chapter book too.
Wow.
That's the title of the chapter.
So much in
it's
common.
It's called Love because he loves his loot. The end.
And he loves his house.
Fine, I'm with Jeremy.
He loves his
but
new
loves
home.
He loves his present situation.
He loves his friend. He loves guzzling down
his
Greysdale.
Friend. Yeah.
It's he also the it. Physical act of love that he engages in while guzzling down Greysdale.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen in the chapter.
No, that's when he's with Valerian.
I'm just
probably.
Saying.
They were.
We're talking
doing
about
lots
the
of stuff,
chapter here.
And they have lots of different maneuvers.
Mm-hmm. He is fluent in multiple techniques.
You guys are off the page and I don't appreciate it.
Yo, this you guys are off the page.
No, not that kind of off the page. The lame kind.
We have a nice letter if we're done with the page.
I would love that. I would love a letter, please.
This letter is from Samantha and it is entitled Thank You, Jordana. Hello.
Yay.
I'm a teacher, mom of three, and a big fantasy literature nerd. I am a relatively new podcast listener, and I was so moved by the Not a Big Reader episode when Jordana shared her struggles with reading. Thank you for sharing your experiences because it helps me be more aware of the different ways people grapple with the written word. I was brought to tears hearing you share what it was like to be singled out for separate reading groups, and yet so inspired that you are reading aloud this challenging text to listeners. I love when you read aloud, and also love description of your sketches of the inn and the sword. Reading has always come easily to me, but drawing is frustrating. I have ideas in my mind, but cannot express them to satisfaction with a pencil. Thank you for your bravery in sharing your story, Samantha.
Yay. Thank you, Samantha, so much. I mean, Samantha knows I wrote her a letter back, but for those of you who did not hear my response for that, I really appreciate a letter like that because, like, despite the fact that we get all sorts of nice things from people and they're like, oh, like, thanks for sharing, like, there isn't really a time where I'm like, oh yeah, no, like, I'm totally fine with the fact that I read sort of weird. Like, it is a thing that I need to get used to. It is a thing I need to work on. And it is very nice to hear that, like, I didn't kind of waste my story, and also that, like, the internet's not being a jerk about it, because, like, you know how sometimes the internet is full of trolls? I'm afraid of those trolls, and I don't want to hear them from them, so it is nice to hear from not a troll. It's also nice to know that, like, a little thing can make a bit of a difference. Like, I don't know how much of a difference it's really making, but, like, I'm sure that, like, if more people talked about it, it would be less difficult for people who don't read well to read more and to feel more confident about that reading.
Mm-hmm. This is one of those letters that kind of makes it all worthwhile. Little moments where you realize you've reached somebody. That's what makes... That's why we do this.
Any letter we get where we made a listener cry is a good letter.
Yes.
I mean, I never mean to make somebody cry, but it was a good cry. It was a good impact.
Oh,
so.
We do. Jeremy and I are constantly striving to cause sorrow.
It's true. We love making people cry. But sincerely, for a moment, that's a lovely letter, and thank you for writing us, Samantha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just a little moment of listener corner, because we are still streaming. Patrick says we are wrong. They light fires all the time using their body heat. They do, but I still think it's inadvisable. I think
it's like to... I play with swords all the time, but I wouldn't do it when I was drunk.
Yeah, I'm sure many adults drive cars all the time, but they don't do it when they're drunk. Like,
well, they do, and
sometimes
they shouldn't.
Fire is okay, yes, but fire is also dangerous.
Yeah, you shouldn't, like, light a fire when you're drunk either, whether you're using sympathy or not.
That's actually, that's a good point. Although lighting a candle is not really lighting a fire.
Yeah, that's
famous last words.
Burn their house down.
Oh no.
Well,
anyway,
it's been a great chapter. Been a great podcast. You've been great hosts. You've been great listeners. We love you the most.
We do, and we will love you tomorrow.
On yet another page.
Of
the win.
Stop stealing it.
Not working. We have to figure out. You're right, Jordana. We have to figure out a different system.
I know I'm right.